The title for today's shiur is Repentance Before Death, an Everyday Experience. It is based upon a Gemara, Daf Kuf Nun Gimel Amud Aleph, toward the end of the 23rd Perek in Masechet Shabbat. It is paralleled by a famous statement in Pirkei Avot as well, as everyone will recognize. The Gemara we're looking at begins at the end of the second wide line, the last word. It says, Tanan Hatam, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, a Mishnah was taught that says, Rabbi Eliezer made the following statement. Shuv Yom Echa Bifnei Mitatecha, repent one day before your death. Shalut Hamidav, Rabbi Eliezer, the students of Rabbi Eliezer asked him, V'chi Adam Yodea Ezu Yom Yamut, but does a person know, Rabbi, when he is going to die? Amar Lahan, V'kol Sheken Yashuv Hayom, Shema Yamut L'machar. He says, and all the more so, you have to repent today, lest you die tomorrow. V'nim Sakho Yamav B'tshuva. And then it will end up that all of your days will have been engaging in repentance. V'yap Shlomo Amar v'chokhmato, and so did King Solomon say in his wisdom, in Kohelet. V'chol eit yu begadecha levanim, v'shemen al roshecha al yechsar. And he said, in fact, Shlomo Melech did, that your clothing should always be white, in other words, in order to look for a stain upon it, v'shemen aroshcha yechsar, and you will not be lacking oil, a sign of being anointed and chosen upon your head. Amar B'Yochanan ben Zakkai, B'Yochanan ben Zakkai said, Mashal, this is a parable, in fact, a metaphor to understand this idea of doing tshuva before you die. L'melech shezimein et avadav l'suda. It's like a king who invited his servants to a meal, to a feast. V'lo kavalahem zman. But he did not give an exact time for the feast that would take place on this day. Pikhin shevahen, the wise ones amongst the servants, kishtu et atzman v'yashvu al petach beit hamelech. They prepared themselves, adorned themselves properly for going in to see the king in the palace. Amru klum chasar lebeit hamelech. They said, after all, is anything lacking in the palace of the king? He could immediately call us in. Everything would already be ready to go. The food, the feasting, the atmosphere, the decorations, and so on. So we have to be ready. Tipshin shebahen, the foolish ones among them, were identified by all the mefarshim as rishayim, as those who are wicked, as it were. Halchu l'malachtan. They said, no, we'll go to work. Amru klum yesuda below tarach. Is it possible they're just going to have the feast ready to go right now? They'll call us. It's going to take time to get everything together, to prepare everything. We have time to go do what we want to do before we set ourselves up with the service to the king. V'pitom bikesh hamelech et avadav. And then suddenly the king ordered his servants to come in. Pichin shebahen, those who were wise, nichnesu lefanav kishehen mikushatin, they went into the palace when they were prepared properly to enter. V'yatibshin, but those who were foolish, nichnesu lefanav kishehen maluchlachin, those who were the foolish ones went in dirty to the palace. Sama chamelech likrat pikhim, the king was very happy to greet the wise ones, the tzaddikim. V'kas likrat tipshim, and he was very angry at the foolish ones, identified as the wicked ones. Amar halalu shikishtu et atzman l'suda, he said, those who were wise and prepared themselves properly for the feast, yeshvu v'yochlu v'yishtu, they will sit and they will eat and they will drink. Halalu shelo kishtu atzman l'suda, those who did not prepare themselves for the meal, Yamdu v'yiru. They will just stand and watch. Chatanosh, Rabbi Meir, Mishim Rabbi Meir Amar, but then something's name said in the name of Rabbi Meir. Af hein nirin kimishamshin. That's it. Their punishment is those who were wicked, who were foolish, that they stand there and they watch, but it's going to look like they're part of the whole event, that they're serving or they're involved. Ella, rather, Elu va'elu yoshrin. Both are going to be sitting. Halalu ochlin, these eat, v'halalu ra'evin, while the wicked ones will starve. Halalu shotin, these will drink, v'halalu tzmein, and the others will be thirsty. Shenemar, as it says, Nishayahu ko amar Hashem, so does God say, Hine avadai yochlu, behold, my servants will eat, v'atem tiravu, and you will starve. Hine avadai yishtu, my servants will drink, v'atem titzma'u, and you will be thirsty. Hine avadai yaronu, mitov lev, behold, my servants will sing out of gladness and goodness of heart, v'atem titzaku, and you will cry out, mika'ev lev, from a pain and suffering of the heart. We see from this, obviously, as is put forth, that one should take repentance as something that should be done on a daily basis, and one who does repent properly will be ready when he enters the king's palace in the world to come, and one who does not repent regularly, his call may come back to his maker, and he will not be prepared, and he will not be invited to partake of that world. Certainly we know that when it comes to doing tshuva, it involves, among other things, sur meira v'yaseh tov, distancing oneself from evil and doing good. But so too, points out one of the Rishonim, Maron Rav Yosef Yavitz, again, who is one of the Rishonim, he indicates in his commentary on Pirkei Avot, this is in the second parak, he makes the following statement where it says there, Rabbi Eliezer's comment, that a person should always repent one day before his death, as brought down in my edition. This is in Mishnah Yud Bet. Some editions it's different. There he says, repent one day before your death. Gamzu azara lilmod haTorah. This is a statement which is charging one that he must learn Torah. Ki atshuva Torah u'masim tovim. Because tshuva is not just doing good deeds and properly acting. It also has to do with Torah. V'ikar ha-tshuva shi'itabek b'Torah. And the main aspect, he says, of repentance is attaching oneself to the Torah. As he says, Rabbeinu Yonah says in the Shari Tshuva. And indeed, we know Rav Chaim Volozhin, his Nefesh HaChaim, indicated as well that the notion of Das Hashem, there's a notion of the Devar Hashem, I should say, of the Word of God, that is the Torah. That's where we find God. That's where we attach ourselves to God in Talmud Torah. As it says, in fact, as well, we can bring a riot to this in Shavish Shuva, the Haftorah. It says there, Ki chui machem devarim, Shuva Yisrael, repent, O Israel, and take words for yourself. What words? The Farshim say words of Torah, because they are critical to one's ability to do tshuva. Now let us ask some questions and go more deeply into this Gemara. First of all, going beyond even what was said in the question that was asked in the name of Rabbi Meir, as it said that the palace will be made ready with this beautiful feast, in this metaphor we see in the Gemara, for those who are wise and righteous. And it said the foolish ones, the Rishayim, they will just have to sit there and watch. They won't eat, they won't drink, they'll be crying out. So what does that mean? What does that mean? I could ask another question if I were Rabbi Meir. Wouldn't I say, well, what do you mean? That's the punishment that they get? That's it? They get nothing worse than that? All these Rishayim, they just sit there and they don't get to partake of the banquet? Is that it? And indeed, says the Maharal says in his commentary, Hidavar ze ikar onesh. This, in fact, is the essence of punishment. When the righteous ones have a certain benefit, the haim b'chisaron, and the wicked ones are lacking that benefit. He understands that, in fact, that is the greatest punishment you could have. And he has no problem with this particular understanding of what is taking place. This is in line with the view of the Rambam. The Rambam says in Hilchos Tshuva, first concerning this whole notion of repenting one day before your death, the Rambam says in the seventh parak of Hilchos Tshuva, Halacha Bet, Le'olam yira adam atzmo ki'ilu hu notel amut. A person should always see himself like he's going to die. V'shema yamut b'shato. Maybe he really will die right then. V'nimsa omeid b'cheto. And it turns out that he's a person of ill standing, of one who has sin to his name and character. L'fichach yashu mechata'o miyad. Therefore a person should repent from his sins immediately, turn away. V'lo yomar kishazkin ashuv. And don't say, when I become older, then I will repent. Shema yamut terem shiaskin. Lest one dies before he becomes old. Hu sheshlomo amar b'chofmato b'cholek yiyu b'gadech levanim, as Shlomo Melech said in our Gemara. This is what he meant to say, that a person should always see himself wearing white, being able to identify his sins on a regular basis, on a daily basis, in order to do tshuva. In fact, one should not underestimate the power that this tshuva has, as the Rambam says a little bit later in Halacha Vav, Gedola tshuva shemekarevet et ha'adam l'shchina. So great is repentance, it can actually bring a person to God Himself. Shenemar shuva Yisrael ad Hashem Elokecha. As it says, return, O Israel, unto the Lord your God. Tshuva can return you all the way to Hashem. Im tasor b'tshuva, says the Rambam, be tidbak. If you will return, you can in fact once again be so pure, be so focused, be so connected, you can actually reach Hashem Himself. In terms of what we quoted from the Gemara and the Maharal, how does the Rambam view the punishment of those who are not worthy to inherit the world to come? The Rambam says in the eighth parak of Hilchos Tshuva, in Halacha Aleph, that his understanding is as follows. Hapiryon Arishayim hu shelo yisku l'chayim elu. The punishment of the wicked is that they will not merit the good life. The life, the Rambam says, atova tzvuna l'tzadikim, the world to come, this good that has been put away for those who are righteous. The wicked will not merit it. Ela yikartu v'yamutu. Rather, they will be cut off and die. V'chol mi sheino zocha l'chaim elu. And whoever does not merit to this life in the world to come, eternal life, hu ameit sheino chai l'olam. His punishment is that simply he dies without having eternal life. Ela nikrat kibirisho. Rather, he is cut off in his wickedness. Biavad kibahema. And he is lost and destroyed just like an animal. Just like an animal in the streets. A squirrel, a rabbit is hit. A deer on the side of the road, on a highway. And it's all over and that's it and it's finished forever. That, according to the Rambam, is the punishment of one who does not merit the world to come. That's it. There's no other punishment. The Perushim on the Rambam here have great difficulty. The Perush indicates in his comments that sounds like Fira for anyone to believe this. He says, in fact, that Gemara measures Gehenna and says it is this wide and it's of this length. It's like, how could this be that the Rambam says that Gehenna, as in fact he points out later as well, in the 8th parak, in Halacha Dalid, the Rambam says that Gehenna and everything that is associated with a similar name is basically just a mashal for what is going to happen. Be'er Shachat, Abdun, he says anything that is used to identify the punishment that will come upon a person, all these things are merely statements of the fact that the person is destroyed in terms of his body and soul and will not continue to live on in the afterlife. Some ask a shaila, if that's so, but the Gemara describes, we know that a person suffers, if we say, for Yud Bet Chodesh in Gehenna, he suffers, he undergoes pain. A person, therefore, after losing a relative, says Kaddish for 12 months, because a Rasha suffers in Gehenna for 12 months, and hopefully with the saying of Kaddish and doing Masim Tovim, that will elevate the person's soul from Gehenna and allow them to inherit the good life of Olam Haba. According to the Rambam, if Gehenna just means nothing, so what suffering, what pain, and what are you elevating? How could that be? I think we can answer the Rambam. We would say, the Rambam would say as follows. Of course, the Rambam believes in that concept. The Rambam believed in the notion of Kaddish. The idea of Kaddish would be that the person dies, and if he's a Rasha, Gehenna means he does not live on. He is dead, and it's all over. He has no place in the world to come of eternity. Then, the doing of Kaddish and Masim Tovim, however, can indicate that this person was really not this Rush. He's still an influence upon those who survived him. And thereby he is brought from Gehenna, from non-existence, which is the Rambam's definition. And he is brought to the level of existence again, where just, of course, now his body being dead, the soul survives and will survive in Olam Haba as a result of the saying of Kaddish. That's how we can understand the view of the Rambam. The Rambam's view, absolutely, and it goes along with his naturalistic vision of how things take place in connecting to Hashem, to the Rambam that happens through the intellect and the development of one's intellect. Thereby God, who is also intellect, knowledge, therefore one is capable of tying himself to God, connecting to God, of being dovek l'Hashem, of attaching himself to Ribbono Shelam, to that attachment of the intellect, of course fed by Masim Tovim and proper actions as well. If one is zocha to that, very naturally he reaches that level of identifying with God, and God who is eternal, therefore he is eternal. If a person does not reach that level naturally through the use of his intellect and through his Masim Tovim, then he simply doesn't identify with eternity. He doesn't get punishment, he doesn't get Gehenna, he doesn't get fire, doesn't get burned. He just doesn't inherit that place with God, as it were, that experience of eternal life. Now, of course, anyone who knows the view of the Kabbalists, as this Perush on the Rambam we quoted explained, one of them, understands the problem that this makes. Because the Ramban, for example, and the Shara Gamul and all of the Kabbalists, based on the Gemara, as is quoted here, understand Gehenna is a place, it has a length, it has a width, there are fires there, the fires are described in the Gemara as being a certain amount of intensity which is so many times stronger than the intensity of the sun. There are statements in Gemara about people who went by the openings to Gehenna, the doors to Gehenna. So certainly there is a machlokas here. Machlokas between the rationalist school of the Rambam, and not only the Rambam, however, as I said, the rationalist school in general, I saw it brought down as well in the name of others, like the Rambam, who also hold that it's not an inyan, a real place, but basically it is a mashal. Rav Yosef Albo, for example, has the same explanation to say for Ikarim. However, the Ramban and the Mekubalim all hold that, as we said, this is a real place with real suffering, with real fire and brimstone, they say, with terrible, terrible experiences, being bitten, being destroyed, going through all sorts of terrors, as opposed to the Rambam, who just says that you do not inherit eternity. You're just not there. So this Gemara seems to support the Rambam. It's very important to indicate that the Rambam, whenever he says things, he was always under attack, as we know. He always has a source in the Gemara. This is his source. That we saw that it says that those who are wicked will go into the king's palace, and what will happen? Are they punished? Do they get whipped? Do they get beaten? Do they get burned? No. They simply do not partake of the feast of the king, of eternity. They basically are not seen to take part in the reward which is granted to the others. That would be the Rambam's source. I did see it brought down in a Sefer Imrei Bina, which is brought itself in the Agadot Yama Talmud on the Taf Kuf Mem Vav, where there he says, and I think it's incorrect, I'd argue with this, he says, according to the Rambam, that the punishment is habusha. It's the shame that the wicked feel in watching those who are partaking of eternity, of the world to come. The oy lo lo ta busha, oy lo lo ta klima, he says. And oh, this busha, this klima, this embarrassment, this is a worse penalty than any other penalty than being bitten by snakes and scorpions. There is no worse penalty than this embarrassment and this shame. I love the way he understands it that way. That certainly is a terrible mental anguish that can be as terrible as the physical anguish one feels. However, I question if it's the right hesber. I don't think the Rambam's saying it's a shame and an embarrassment, because the Rambam says the people are not there. They're just not there. Or, as it was said in the Gemara, they're not partaking of what's taking place. There's no shame. There's no embarrassment. They don't exist in order to have that experience, according to the view of the Rambam. The Ein Yaakov presents a beautiful, beautiful statement about how we should view the notion of tshuva. It's in the Eitz Yosef, in the Ein Yaakov, on this Gemara, where he says, Hakavana she'af shehirshata kol yamecha. The intent of this Gemara is to say, concerning repenting one day before your death, that even if you sin throughout your entire life, al kikya'esh min arachamin, do not despair from the possibility of mercy. V'al tachshov shelo yikabel HaKadosh Baruch Hu otcha, im tashuv b'tshuva shlema. Do not think that God will not accept you if you repent fully and return to Him. Ki zeh no, this is not true. Even if you have sinned greatly, and you have wickedly sinned, still the forgiveness of God is great and mighty. A person can still repent. He goes on to say, Afilu im hu goses, even if the person is near death, even in that situation, he's in the death throttle and he's on the verge of passing away. Even in that situation, Im yashuv v'tshuva HaKadosh Baruch Hu mekabel oto, that person on his way out of this world, the Satan already has him, the Malach HaMavet, to take him away. Still, he can still repent even at that point. Why is that the case, he says? Even though he says he did sins his entire life, even though now it seems too late for it to happen, Lefi Shenishmato Mimakom Kadosh, because his soul is from a holy source, Chelek Elokai Mimal, it is a divine spark, it is from God up above, Asher Mimenu Balo, which came into the person from God, Imkein Harehu Chozer B'Shav El Mikoro. Therefore, a person has the ability to return to his place, to his source, which was a holy source. A beautiful thought that anyone can still repent even at the very last moment. The Chashukei Chemed brings this halacha l'maisa in his commentary, Rav Zilbertin's commentary on this Gemara. A question was asked to him. A mumar, someone who was a wanton sinner, but not just that. A mumar, he says, l'avod azara. Somehow he was even a sinner who was involved in avodah zarah, be it avodah zarah mamish, or maybe according to the Rambam, Christianity. He had switched over to Christianity. It says his shaila was asked, he was intermarried, violated kol ha'tara kula, and now on his deathbed he calls for a Jew to come to him and to confess with him as he is a goses, halach l'maisa, what we just saw. And a person is sent to him, a Jew is sent to him in order to help him confess his sins, and he gets there and he has him say Shema Yisrael first and accept God's kingship and Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuto and Hashem Hu Elokim, like we accept God's kingship at the end of Yom Kippur, and then the person dies without formally confessing. The question asked of Zilberstein is, in that situation, could a person be buried in a Jewish cemetery? And of course, we should point out that maybe because the person was Jewish, that especially in Chutz La'aretz, we may not be as makpid. But the whole idea, going back to the Gemara, that a Rosh and a Tzaddik should not be buried next to each other, that's why you have different cemeteries for different people in Eretz Yisrael, maybe even a Shomer Shabbos cemetery and so on. As I said, in the Chutz La'aretz, we're not generally so makpid, just so a person is Jewish. But let's say in a place where they are makpid, or Zilberstein is being asked this in Eretz Yisrael, can a person even be buried in a Jewish cemetery of this personality next to normal Jews when he was someone who was a Rasha, a Mumar? What is his din? And Rav Zilberstein answers, quoting the Shalos and Tshuvos of Divya Malkiel, Tshuva Yud Aleph, and he says that there is no doubt that even though he did not confess, his tshuva is still accepted. How could that be? He says, Imrak yada perush hamilot me'apsukim shamra. If he knew, just so he knew the verses that he was saying, Shema Yisrael, Baruch Shem, Hashem Elohim, that itself, accepting God's kingship upon himself, what is, after all, tshuva if not accepting God's kingship, I would ask? He says that itself could have the power, even as a goses, of him taking upon himself that he would never sin again, even though he did not make it to confess, even though usually we know the Rambam says that the tshuva, confession, is part of the tshuva process, that it's absolutely necessary to reach the goal of tshuva. But still, in this situation, in this Shas Adchak, it's understood, we know from the Gemara in many places, that here Hurei Tshuva, as he brings down Yerushalmi to support this, Even thoughts of tshuva are sufficient to establish one as a Baal tshuva if he cannot fully confess, if he does not make it to that point. And thereby says the Chashukei Chemed, we see the great power of psukim, that a pasuk, if it's said with proper kavana, can turn a person, his lashon hapchuhu migoy leYehudi, could change a person even saying a pasuk properly from a non-Jew, this mumar lo barazara, to someone who is a Jew who could be buried in a Jewish cemetery, and that's how he paskened that in fact would be his deen. That a full heart of kavana through just psukim itself, and here a tshuva, can establish one as a Baal tshuva. And I conclude with a story of my own concerning such a halacha laisa issue. There was a person on his deathbed, and I was told by the family that this person was such that Judaism did not mean anything to him, and he violated all the mitzvahs of the Torah. But before he died, even though he wanted to be cremated, and he gave an instruction to his relatives that he was to be cremated, yet before he died, he asked that a shofar be brought, and that the shofar be blown for him. And then interestingly, he passed away, and he passed away on Yom Kippur. And the Shaila was asked to me, not in terms of his ashes, because he wanted his ashes scattered or buried somewhere else. It wasn't asked about the cemetery, although that would have been an interesting Shaila. But it was asked to me concerning the sitting of Shiva for this person. Generally, someone who has himself cremated, like suicide, for example, someone who commits himself a terrible sin in death, cremation is seen as one of those terrible sins. The halacha is that he would get no kavod, he would get no proper rites shown to him after he died. And that includes sitting Shiva for him, which is an honor also for the mace, that he would have no Shiva sat for him. But I wondered when I heard this story if it might be different, even though the normative halacha is such as I explained, because he asked that the shofar be blown for him. And what is the shofar? And here it is in Yom Kippur when he died. And what is the shofar, if not an attempt to do tshuva? What does the shofar represent, if not the notion of tshuva, of repentance? And so I called Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, and I told him the whole maisa. And he agreed. He said, Rabbi Balk, there should be full rites for that family. They should sit a full 7 days of Shiva. They should say Kaddish. They should do everything for this person. That person had hirurei tshuva before he died. He had the shofar blown, said Rav Aaron. He did tshuva, that Jew. And so I instructed them in accordance with the psak of Rav Aaron Soloveitchik. Of course, these last cases we gave were cases where a person was on his deathbed. But as we saw in the Gemara, as we mentioned again, one never knows when that time will come. One never knows if he will have a deathbed atmosphere where there will be time to repent, or if death will come suddenly, as the Mashal showed in the Gemara, without time and for one to prepare to enter the great palace and enjoy the feast of Hashem, which is the world to come. May we thereby be zoche to learn the message of this Gemara, and to be sure that our notion of recognizing the importance of repenting come not only at death, but also as an everyday experience.